What is the purple hand? Find out on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pushback. I'm Dr. Johnny, and when you hear a title like The Purple Hand, I know what you're thinking. This is going to be about the Vikings, isn't it? Well, it's been a rough week for the Vikings. It's been full of mixed emotions. We've been on a little bit of a winning streak, as you probably know. We're back to 500. And then our quarterback, who's having an MVP-type season, ruptures his Achilles. It's tough being a Vikings fan. I've apologized to my children many times that I've raised them as one. It's not easy being purple, that is for sure. But that is not what this podcast is about. And nor will anybody else who's rooting for a different team feel sorry for us, that's for sure. But I want to talk about something that's going to be very dear to our family this week. Our dear daughter, Lydia, is getting married when I'm doing this podcast in 2 days. And so we are gearing up full time at the Claussen house, getting things ready for the wedding. We have table charts and we have candles and we have decorations and desserts and all of these things going on in our home. And my wife is working overtime trying to coordinate that as mother of the bride, and she's doing a fantastic job. I'm going to have the privilege again of delivering a message at this wedding. Lydia is the fourth of our 8 children, and so I've had the privilege with our other 3 to be involved in their weddings as well. Truly an honor and a blessing. So I'm going to try not to get too weepy and misty as I give this message, but in a way, maybe I can get a little bit of this off my chest in this podcast. When the ceremony comes, I won't be a puddle or a mess. So I will do the best I can. So I appreciate you guys being my guinea pig, because I do want to talk about marriage. My wife and I teach on marriage, maybe mostly, and it's really been growing in momentum. And we tend to do our marriage course called the Ultimate Marriage Course quite frequently. And I encourage you to go to our website at gofam.org and look at all the different places that we are delivering this course. We're going to be doing it 5, 6, 7 times this year at least. And so there's different places that you can connect to our course, which we believe is really life-changing and really based on testimony, the things that the Lord has taught us in our own marriage. And I really want to just hit on in this podcast what marriage is. It's a great question, because our culture, remember, this podcast is about culture, and our culture has really turned marriage into a trite ceremony with a reception to follow. And it has become just a party or celebration of a legal ceremony that takes place. And I'm not minimizing the beauty and the celebrational aspect of the event, but it's important, really, with any part of life, that we know why we're doing something. And even more important than that, we need to know what it is. And even more important than that, we need to know why the Father created it and what He intended it to be from the beginning of time. Isn't that really what it's all about, is connecting to His heart and to His favor and to the things that He has actually called us to? And so I'm going to share with you what I believe Scripture says marriage is. And it might surprise some of you, and it might be, hopefully, it'll be a much bigger deal than you thought it was. And for those of you who are married, I'm sorry, it may just open your eyes to something that you didn't even know was there. And for those who are yet to be married, it's going to lay a foundation for what you are heading towards. So we go to Genesis, and when we teach, whether it's parenting or marriage or family, we always go back to Genesis, because Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is this snapshot of time before sin entered the world, where we can actually connect with the Father's heart for something. And so when we take marriage today in our culture and we see how it is being redefined, how it is being minimized, how it is being diluted, that's because there's a lack of understanding of what it is. And when something hurts, because we're human beings, we tend to want to change what it means so that maybe it won't hurt so bad. And that's our mission in life for GoFam Ministries, is to bring back the power and potency of what marriage and family means and what it is, so that we have the target for restoration of our culture. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 through 24, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother, father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." One flesh, and this verse is mentioned in Genesis. It's reiterated in the Gospels. And then Paul reiterates it again later in the New Testament. When something's repeated three times throughout the whole thread and narrative of the Bible, you better believe that it's important and it's a cultural piece of what he created for us. When he uses the word one flesh and uses the word one, the word is echad, E-C-H-A-D, echad. And the word does mean singular, but the best interpretation of the word echad in the Hebrew tradition is actually the word unique. So when you hear the term, you know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Deuteronomy 6:4, it's basically saying, "Hear, O Israel," he's not saying the Lord, this isn't a Trinity message that the Lord is three in one. That's not what this is saying. It's saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is unique." It's echad. There's nobody else like him. He is the one and only. There's nobody beside him. There's nobody comparable to him. He is the one and only, and he is unique. So when it says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become echad," they are saying that they are going to be transformed into something completely unique. And so as crazy as it is to hear, the two people that existed prior to the vows no longer exist. That's what it means. And so we need to understand that it is a miraculous transformation in every sense of the word of a miracle. And when I've done weddings for my previous three children, and when I do this for on Friday with my daughter, I'm going to start by saying you are about to witness a miracle. And it isn't some trite Hallmark Channel, mamsy-pamsy type of response where, "Oh, isn't that sweet? They're becoming one." No, this is actually a miraculous transformation that where the two people existed prior to the vows no longer exist. They become something completely different. The world today doesn't really understand it. We can't quite get our mind around it. And so we use some of these quote-unquote romantic type visualizations to try to figure it out, like we're two pieces of a puzzle, or we're singing a duet, or as Tom Cruise would say, "You complete me." Well, you don't complete me. You are me. That's what echad means. And it's a bigger deal. We had a young gal that came up to us after we delivered this message and said, "I have a picture of what you're describing as if the groom has a red painted hand and the bride has a blue painted hand and they put their hands together in marriage and it becomes purple. The purple hand." It's something completely different. Nobody looks at the color in purple and say, "Oh, what a beautiful blue-red." No, it's a completely different color. Nor can you look at the color purple and try to winnow out the blue or the red. No, our eyes just see something completely unique, something different, something called purple. And that's how it is with marriage. We become completely different. So Jesus knew that we would struggle with this concept and we would continue to try to make it so that we are separate individual people. So he, Jesus himself, responding to the Pharisees, it says he answered them and said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning," he's referring to Genesis, "made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?'" And so then Jesus gives a commentary on what this means. This is what he says. "So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, or as a result of, what God has joined together, let not man separate." This is different than just holding hands and being companions through life. This is a melding, a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh that is inseparable. It's like trying to draw out the red and blue out of the color purple. That's what he is saying. And so Jesus came to actually bring restoration to the Father's heart of what he saw marriage to be. And he knew we would struggle with it. So he adds an extra line to Genesis and reiterates what it means. It doesn't mean that we're just going to be lifelong companions. It means they are no longer two, but one flesh. They are no longer two, but they are now echad. Something completely unique. It's a miraculous transformation that takes place on a wedding day when the bride and groom say their vows and say, "I do," and form a covenant together that is inseparable. That's what it means, and that's what's going to happen with my daughter 2 days from now. So if they're inseparable, don't they still have their own individuality, their own goals, their own aspirations, their own dreams? Aren't they their own person with their own destiny? And the answer is no, they aren't. They're one unique flesh. Now, to be clear, oneness doesn't mean sameness. They have different skills, different anointings, different giftings, different gender differences. But all of those skills and anointings and gifts are not their own. They're now part of Echad. They no longer get to think independently, but they become inseparable with their spouse. My friends, I believe this simple teaching of oneness would change completely the way that we look at marriage and what marriage means and what he created it to be. So it's not surprising that Paul comes along in Ephesians 5 and compares marriage to the church, the bridegroom and the bride, and finishes it with, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become echad." The two shall become one flesh. He draws in the comparison to Christ and his church wanting to become one with us. It's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It's so powerful that he uses this human uniqueness to actually describe his relationship with us. It blows my mind. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. And I've made it a goal in my life and our family's life to never minimize or dilute or water down what a marriage ceremony is. We need to be clear. And we don't invite guests to a wedding. We invite witnesses. Witnesses to a miracle so that they can testify what they saw. Not only testify what they saw, but that they can hold the couple accountable to the miracle that they have vowed and covenanted to. The couple and the guests bear witness to what happens on that day. It's precious. It's precious. And my daughter Lydia is so, so precious to me. I came out of residency, you know, basically on call every other night and constantly sleep deprived, and moved to Staples, Minnesota, and began a practice with 12, 13 partners. And so instead of being on call every other night, I was on call every 13th, 14th night. And there was a kind of a great awakening that took place in my life, because I actually was able to sleep most nights and had a regular schedule, and wasn't getting completely depleted like you do in residency. And it was right at that moment that Lydia was born. And there was this preciousness of this doe-eyed girl in my arms that I actually had time to absorb and appreciate completely. And it was that moment when this sweet little girl began to just sort of win my heart over. And I was absolutely a fuddy-duddy dad with her, to the point that there was a moment when she, I believe, was 2 or 3 years old, that my wife literally confronted me and said, "Honey, you need to snap out of it. Like, at some point you're going to have to parent her, and you're going to have to tell her no, because we don't want to raise a tyrant." And she kind of like slapped her hands in front of my face, like, "Snap out of it. You've been hypnotized." And I've been hypnotized ever since. And in 2 days, I walked that little baby down the aisle. And it's such a privilege, and it's all happy. And it's all glorious, and it's all good. And these transitions in life, they sometimes hurt, and they sometimes, you feel pain, but it's the heart connection. It's the love in your heart that feels that. And so the relationship doesn't get to be the same, but I know that it goes from glory to glory. And she will echad with Judah, and they will become one flesh. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. And the world needs my kids. And so I am going to celebrate despite tears, despite emotion. It's real emotion. It's not sadness. It's change. And it's transition. And that's good too. And so pray for me and pray for my family, because it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. And we know that what the Father created for us is the best. His good is gooder than our good. And when he created something and called it good, something like marriage, something like man and woman, male and female, when he created it and called it good, we can take it to the bank that it's really, really good. And so we celebrate that. I want to give you just a nugget of what marriage looks like. Also a nugget of what our course looks like, and encourage you to connect with that. We also have our marriage course, the Ultimate Marriage Course, online. That is a downloadable course that you can do as a small group with videos that we are teaching. I encourage you to connect with that as well, and hopefully be stretched and moved and grow in what the Father had for us as we cast vision for his original heart from the beginning of time. That's my podcast today. I have a to-do list that I need to get done today. So I'm going to go do that so that we can be ready in 2 days from now. So I love you all. And until next week, let's go together now to set and shape the culture.